have met before. And my friend, well, Helen has actually, my friend lives most of the time in his sleeping bag because he lives asleep. So I'm going to get him out. We just have to be a little bit quiet because he is a bit shy. Okay, so can we just a bit quiet, and I'll just get out my friend. Oh, you're going to come out, Paul's. This is Paul's. Yeah. You're going to come out, my dog? Yeah. Paul's, are you going to say hello? No. Oh, are you shy? Yes. Yeah. You're just going to stay in your sleeping bag then this morning? Oh. Do you want him to come out? Do you want him to say hello to us? Who wants him to come out and say hello? Oh, he won't come out for that. Who wants him to come out and say hello? Who? Anyone? Yay! Fantastic. Brilliant. Paul's, will you come out? Will you say hello? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because there's lots of food over there. All right, yeah, okay. Fantastic. Is it for you? No, the food isn't. Do you think it's for him?
Yeah.
No, the food is not for you. Okay. But you've brought something along yourself. Oh. That sounds interesting. Shall we see what he's brought along? Paul's quite often brings things along when he comes to church and he goes into schools and things like that. Shall we just see? What have you got? You excited about it? Yeah, okay. What is it? It's for the special service today. It looks like a t-shirt to me, Paul's. In fact, it looks like, I should say, about 50% of a t-shirt. So why have we got a ripped-up t-shirt with us here this morning, Paul's? It's for the festival. Oh. It's for the festival. So why did you bring 50% of a t-shirt to our special festival today, Paul's? Because you heard it was a half-vest festival. Paul's. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's not a half-vest festival. We can't take out and put that to the people at bare necessities or people who are desperately needing food and things like that. You've gone and brought completely the wrong thing. What a shame, eh? What a shame. Well, I tell you what, Paul's, it's a good job that other people have brought some other things, because I think we'll let you off. I think we'll forgive you for making a bit of a mistake. But maybe next year you could bring along some food or something like that. Might be a bit more useful, wouldn't it? Yeah, okay. Okay, that'd be brilliant. So it's not a half-vest festival. Today is a harvest festival. And what we do in a harvest festival is we say thank you to God for all the good things that he's been giving us. So many good things. Like a new house to live in. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Like all the wonderful people here. Yeah. Like all those things we were hearing about just now. Absolutely. There's so many things to be thankful for, aren't there? But sometimes, you know, we're not. Who is sometimes not thankful? Not many admit to it. Who knows someone who is sometimes not thankful? I got a response, didn't it? Who knows someone who grumbles sometimes? Oh, yeah. Who grumbles themselves sometimes? That'll be me. We grumble and moan, don't we? But it's better, somebody described it this way, if we have an attitude of gratitude. There's a guy called Jay John said that. An attitude of gratitude. That means we say thank you lots. What do you think about that, Paul's? Have I got a story about it? Yeah, well, funnily enough, I do. Slightly bizarrely. So would you like to hear a who would like to hear a story from the Bible? Like that? Yeah, good. It's a slightly odd story for a harvest festival. I can't think who chose it. That would be me. There was a little bit of a mix-up, but here we go. So this is from Acts chapter 16. If you want to find it in your Bibles, it's on page 1112. Okay, and it goes like this. You like Acts, don't you? Lots of adventures in Acts. That's right, Paul's. Brilliant. So I'm going to quickly read this story. It says, once when we, that's Paul and Silas, were going to a place of prayer, they were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned round and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. That's a bit of a complicated story, isn't it, Paul? Do you understand it? You do. Brilliant. Can you tell the rest of us then about it? No. Right. Do you really understand it? No. No. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Shall I tell you a little bit that story? Paul and his friends were travelling. And they came to a city, they came to a place called Philippi. Who was Philippi? Was it Philiam? No, it wasn't Philiam. Not Philippi. Philippi. It was a place in Greece. And they were there because God had told them to go there. But they ended up getting in trouble for doing what God wanted them to do. And that doesn't seem fair, does it? Do you think it's fair that sometimes we get in trouble when we've been doing what's right? Is that fair? It's not, is it, Paul? It's not fair, but it sometimes happens, and that's what happened to Paul and Silas. And they'd got themselves into big trouble because they'd upset people. In fact, they got in such big trouble that Paul and Silas had been flogged. Was that on eBay? No, not flogged like that. They'd been beaten up. Just for doing what was right. They'd done nothing wrong. They'd helped a girl who'd had an evil spirit, which wasn't very nice, and they'd stopped some people making money out of her. They'd done what God wanted, and that doesn't seem fair, does it? I wonder if you've ever felt at times that you have got into trouble, you've caused problems, people have criticised you, or condemned you, or punished you even, for doing what's right. And Paul and Silas ended up in prison. They'd been beaten up, they were in prison. It was dark and cold and damp and horrible. They'd done absolutely nothing wrong, and they didn't know what was going to happen next. Maybe even worse things would happen. So my question this morning is, if that was you, how would you feel? If you had been thrown in prison for doing nothing wrong, if you were there in the cold and the dark, you'd been beaten up, you didn't know what was going to happen next, how would you feel? Have a chat to someone near you, if it's children or adults, whoever. Have a chat just about how do you think you would feel, very briefly, 20 seconds. How do you think you'd feel? Do you like my dog? Do you want to give him a little stroke? Give him a little stroke on the pat. Just give him a little pat like that. That's it. Yeah, that's nice, wasn't it? Pause. That's it. Okay. Okay, sit down on the steps. Let's find out what people say. Okay, next question, because I can guess something of what that would be. What would you do if you were them? Be honest. What would you do? 20 seconds. Well, I'll tell you what I would do. Well, no, let's ask, what would people do? Hands up, anyone. What would you do if you were stuck in prison? And if you were, it was cold and you'd been beaten up and all the rest of it, how would you be feeling? Yeah? You'd be feeling pretty sad, wouldn't you? Pretty upset. And what do you think you'd do? What do you think you'd do? What would anyone do? Adults, children, anyone? Grumble, yeah. I think if we're honest, quite a lot of us would start, I know I would, I'd start grumbling, I'd start moaning. This is what Paul and Silas did. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Which might be kind of obvious, mightn't it, if you're stuck in a prison cell with them in close proximity. I just can't imagine. You hope they were good singers. Yeah, so do I as well. And I wonder what songs they sang. I wonder maybe, there was that Simon and Garfunkel track, for those of you who go back to it. Sound of Silas. That was bad. Yeah, I know. You've never heard of them either. No, I know. Pause, you're fighting. Paul and Silas started singing and praying to God. And you know, when we're in a mess, any of us in a mess, we can choose. We've all got a choice. Do we start grumbling? Or do we start talking to God about how we feel, honestly? Do we start moaning? Or do we start praising God and giving thanks for the good things that he's done for us? It's a choice. Holly mentioned earlier that verse that Paul writes to the Philippians, to the people in this same city where he is now, and he's in jail again, once again. He doesn't know whether he's going to live or not, and yet he still writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he says just before that, "Do everything without grumbling or moaning." Or arguing, for that matter. Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter how much we think things are unfair, how bad things are, they probably are not as bad as they were for Paul and Silas. It's a choice. We can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we respond. So, I want to finish this morning by asking you a question. And this is one for all of us. How could you in your day-to-day life do one thing to get better at being thankful to God or thankful to other people rather than grumbling or moaning? What one thing could you do to be more thankful? I'll give you a couple of ideas. It might be you say, at the start of each day, I'm going to spend 1 minute saying thank you to God for as many things as I can think of. Okay? Now you might say, oh, I've done all that lots of times. I do that every day. We'll do 2 minutes then. It might be that you decide each day you're going to see how many people you can say thank you to in the day or encourage in some way. Yeah? Try and think of one thing you could do to be more thankful to God or to other people during the day. Just take a moment of quiet. Let's just be quiet for a moment. That fruit pastel is getting very small by now. Think about one thing you could do to be more thankful, to have more of an attitude of gratitude, a habit you could get into. And now tell the person next to you, or the person you were talking to before, someone near you, what that one thing could be. Okay, now we're going to pray together. Dear God, we thank you that we do have so much to be grateful for. Whether it's thinking about people in Indonesia or people in Romania, whether it's thinking about people far away or near to us, we can always think of people who have less. Whether it's thinking about the situation Paul and Silas were in. Lord, we're sorry for when we groan and when we grumble and when we argue about things instead of having an attitude of gratitude. Please help us to say thank you more often to you and to others. Amen. And next week, the story gets even more exciting. But you can hear about that next week.